Good morning, good morning, good morning. Praise the Lord. It is a blessing to be here again today. Amen. This is a day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. This is Pastor Candace Fisher of St. Timothy Missionary Baptist Church and Straight Gate Ministries. And we would like to come and bring you a word for today. Amen. We hope all has been going well with you. With all the crazy things going on in the world, but we're going to go before the Lord right now in prayer and ask His blessings on our proceedings in the rest of this day. Amen. The world, somebody said a long time ago in a song, what the world needs now is love, sweet love. Amen. We need real love, the love of the Most High God. So let us pray and invite His presence into our lesson here for today. Eternal God, we bless you, we praise you, we exalt your name. Father, we're grateful and thankful that you are our God and that you have given us a clear word. And so, Father, we lift up our hands in praise to you. Father, we just thank you for all that you have done. We thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for our families and our homes. And Father, we pray for all those that are having difficult times during this unusual time in history, but we know you are the God who sees and you know everything that everyone is going through. So, Father, right now we lift up those who have needs, Lord, whatever they need, that you would supply their needs. As you promised in your word, you said that you would supply all I need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus, Father. So we thank you today for your provision. Father, we know you are able to work miracles, and Father, we have just come before you at this unprecedented time in history to call upon you for so many things. We want to thank you for everything you already have done. We thank you for the activity of our limbs and that we're clothed and in our right minds. Father, we thank you for all your grace and all your mercy. Father, we come to ask for the forgiveness of our sins, which are many, that you would wash us, cleanse us, sanctify us, heal us, and deliver us, O God. And Father, we want to thank you for protection. You put a cloud of protection all around your people, Father. And we just thank you for your grace and your mercy. We pray for the ones who are grieving and the ones who have heavy issues in their life, Father, whatever they may be. We know you know all about it. And so, Father, we just thank you right now for everything that you are doing and everything that you have done and for all that you promised that you will do. And, Father, we look forward to seeing your exaltation and your glory. And we ask all this that you would bless our lesson today and bless our time of fellowship, and we ask it in Jesus' mighty name, and it's in Jesus' name we pray, and the saints everywhere all said together, amen. Go ahead and thank God, give him a praise today, because he is worthy. Amen. If you happen to have our notes, we have posted them online at teachingbible.org, and I think we also have posted them here on Facebook, but today we want to just take a few minutes to clarify a few things, and we thank God for all of you who are tuning in. Amen. It is a blessing to see you there. Amen. We need all the viewers that we can get because we have the most crucial message in the history of the world, and that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Which we want it to go to the ends of the earth. It's my prayer, and I'm going to just ask you to pray with me that God will give us that voice that we need in these last days in order to spread his word, because the gospel of Jesus Christ is the most important message that the world has, and it's the only thing that is going to get people saved. We'll talk about that in just a minute here. So today for a topic, I'm going to talk about Jesus Christ is God's only Savior, and I want to be very explicit with that because of having preached last week about girding of the soul in the hope and the victory of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, I was kind of convicted during my meditation this week to be more explicit about exactly what that means, because we live in a very duplicitous culture. We say we live in a culture that says, no, anything and everything goes. But I want to go back to that original thing that God said when he came into the world. You know, there was a lot of confusion in the world at the first advent of Christ. When he first came in into the world, and we call that the most important event that has happened in the history of time, is that Jesus Christ was born. We celebrate that at Christmas time, and we call that the incarnation of the Son of God. And I say it's the most important event because Jesus the Christ is the Son of God, which means he is God in human flesh. And this is the reason why God configured this whole world around him. No one can deny that. I don't care what else you say you believe. But the time factor right now in this world, this is 2020, which means 2020 years since the birth of Jesus Christ. And so no matter what people proclaim, I think that's one of the most important credentials that no one else has but God, and that's God the Son. And so it's a very, very important thing that you and I don't overlook it. Don't just go with the pluralism and the duplicitousness of today. In other words, people have a lot of things they want to say and purport to be some form of truth. And but I want to make it very clear today that Jesus Christ is God's only Savior. And it's necessary for all people to believe on him in order to be saved. Amen. And I don't want to be, like I say, politically incorrect what I just said, but it's the truth. You know, when Jesus came, there were a lot of different people saying they believed different things, even the Jews that he had produced out of nothing, all the way back from Genesis 12, when he called Abraham a Chaldean Gentile to be the father of the Jews. Back at that time, there were no Jews. There were only Gentiles. And God called Abram out of the Gentiles from Ur of the Chaldees, and he developed through him who we would call the covenant people. Now, the Jews are the most important people, therefore, because God created them, caused them to be and to exist from a man who had no offspring, basically who was at the age of 75. Most of you Bible scholars know that story. And the fact is, he produced a people out of nothing, you might say. Because Sarah's womb was barren. Abraham was childless at 75. And so God did an impossible thing, starting up the seed of Abraham to get bring forth the Jews through whom he would deliver to the world his only begotten son, Jesus Christ. And so that was the most important event that has happened thus far in the history of mankind, is after 42 generations from Abraham's calling to the birth of Christ, which you can read in the first chapter of the book of Matthew in the New Testament, you will see that Jesus Christ came right on schedule at the exact moment. Now, we celebrate that mostly at Christmas time, although I tell people I have Christmas all day, every day, and all through the week, and every Sunday is Christmas to me, and every day, as far as that goes, I love the Lord God, and I believe that Jesus Christ is the only Savior that God has. This is the reason why I preach. And I want to tell you, I didn't believe that all the time. There was a time when I was ignorant of the truth. And at some point in my life, God convicted me that there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, that whoever believes in the name of Jesus Christ shall be saved. And so we want to go ahead on and move into this subject. The reason why some people don't have peace, maybe you're in a situation right now where you do not have peace because of all the stuff going on in the world. There's so many people telling so many stories about how you can get close to God, but I want you to hear God's story about how you can be right with God. It's not important what I think. It's not important what the politicians think or the governments of the world or spiritual leaders in the world. The only thing that's important is what did God say? And God has given us his whole word right here. We don't have to go anywhere searching high or low. All we have to do is open the Bible. And God will reveal to us his word. Now, there's a lot of people who open the Bible and they end up telling you something else can help you, either human works or other systems of salvation or those type of things. But I want you to know today that God has one way in order for all people to be saved. And it is equal. In other words, it's the same for everybody. It's not like for one group or another. The apostles went on a mission at the beginning of the church. Back 2,020 years ago, we say not quite that. Jesus was crucified at about the age of 33 and a half. And so we would say based on the time of his birth till now, 2,020 years, is the time that people keep all over this planet and around the world. No one else has that credential except the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we want to thank God for Jesus. And we need to get an understanding and get a grip on this. But this is the most important information you and I know about. The church was sent out to preach this message. Jesus, after he had gotten up out of the grave, Matthew 28:18, he said, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore into all the world and teach all the nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. So we want you to know that God has sent his Son, and the primary mission of the church is to preach the gospel, the good news, that God has one way to be saved. Doesn't make any difference whether people were here or forbear. It's very important because God has one way, and that is through his only Son. So I want you to understand these things today, so we have made a message for that. So let's get to it. Right now, I want you to understand that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, the Bible says, and fools despise knowledge and understanding. So anything I'm saying, I would welcome you to send questions or comments, whatever you want to do. No worries, and I will get back with you individually if I say anything that you would like clarified. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and thy years of thy life shall be increased. So if you want to live a good life, live it fearlessly by understanding that God loves you just like you are. The devil wants you to think, oh, you know, you got to straighten up some stuff before you can be right with God. And I want to let you know the exact thing is true. The opposite, I should say, though, that thing is true. And that is that you cannot straighten up anything until you get right with God. And so that's why God gave his Son. He wants you to know that whatever you have done, I know about it. And I loved you every second you've been in the world, no matter what you thought of me. Regardless of what you have thought of me, I have loved you all the time, every second you've been in the world. In fact, I loved you before you came. The scripture says that we were fearfully and wonderfully made, and that he knit us together in our mother's womb. And it says that God knew us from the foundation of the world, and he loved you just like you are. So I want you to understand that. Realize God loves you just like you are, and that he wants you to be saved. This is the reason that he so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son. Amen. So you that whosoever, that means anybody, regardless of who you are, if you believe in him, you will not perish, but you will have everlasting life. Amen. So I want to share a verse with you here, a couple of verses from the book of Isaiah, chapter number 3, verses 8 to 12. It says here, Isaiah 3 and 8, for Jerusalem is ruined, and Judah is fallen because of their tongue and their doings are against the Lord to provoke the eyes of his glory, to show their countenance doth witness against them, and they declare their sin as Sodom, they hide it not. Woe unto their soul, for they have rewarded evil unto themselves. Say ye unto the righteous that it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. Woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hand shall be given him. And as for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy path. And now understand this. What I wanted you to see here by these verses, that even the covenant people went sour, and God had to straighten them out many times. The Bible says a rebuke goes deeper into a righteous man than 100 blows into the back of a fool. So in other words, if I need to be rebuked, if I know I'm wrong, God will set me straight. He will rebuke me. And that's a good thing. You know what? If he didn't care, he wouldn't rebuke you. So if you feel rebuked by something that you hear that God says, that realize that means he loves you. Just like you would discipline a child who needs to be corrected because you love them, God will discipline us who are his children. He will discipline us and he will rebuke us to set us straight. That's a wonderful thing about God. He didn't just let us run wild and fancy free in the world. He sets us straight. He gives us conviction so that we can change our way of thinking about things that are contrary to his will. And so what I want you to see here, Israel went sour on God. This is the reason why when Jesus Christ came to present himself to them as the Messiah, as the old covenant would say, the Moshiach Nagi, the Messiah, the Prince, as Daniel labeled him, when he came, the scripture says that he came to his own, and his own received him not. But unto as many as received him, to them gave he the right to be called the sons of God, even those who are the children, actually is the technical word right there is it's a technoi, which is the plural for children. He gave them the right to become the children of God, even those that believe on his name. Whoever trusted in him, he was able to give them salvation. So, but he came to his own, and his own received him not. This started a long time ago for Israel. That's why I brought you this text from Isaiah 3. They were starting, they got out of land and had to be taken out of their land, and they were only back in the land by the grace of God after 400 years from the deportation into Babylon. And so at the time Christ was born, Israel had been allowed to come back because God was making preparation to send Jesus Christ, who was his only Savior, to them. And so Jesus showed up right on schedule, and that's the time we call the time of Christmas, that we celebrate the incarnation, where God the Son, who was eternally with the Father, became flesh and dwelt among us, like John 1:14 says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. And so Jesus came right on schedule. John says, I bear witness that he was definitely the Son of God, because no one else could do the things that he did except God was with him. Even Nicodemus recognized that in John chapter 3. Now let's move along. I want you to understand the reason for this message is to tune you in specifically into the fact that Jesus is the only, and I want to be very explicit with that today. That was my conviction during my meditation this week. Jesus Christ is the only Savior. There is no other. You know what he said? He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters abroad. So you're either with him or you are against him. You can only be in one of two places. And so I want to make that just black and white clear. The world today says, you can be spiritual. Like, for example, we have an Earth Day coming up, and people want to celebrate the Earth. Okay, I'm happy with that. It's my home, too. You know, I realize this is the Earth. But the Scripture says that the Earth is destined for destruction, that God says he'll roll it up like a scroll, and it won't be anymore if you read the book of Revelation. So, yeah, the Earth is important. And I'm not saying abuse the Earth or anything like that, but I'm also saying you cannot worship the Earth, because the Earth is going to be rolled up like a scroll, and it's going to go away. There'll be no more sea, the Bible says, in Revelation 21. And so the fact is, I'm not about to worship the Earth, because the Earth's not even going to be here. New heaven and a new Earth down from out of my glory. And Jesus went to prepare that place for us, he says in John 14. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, then I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And so this Savior, Jesus Christ, in accordance with the Old Testament, all the way and at the exact proper time, about 2,000 years ago, approximately. The calendar is centered on the Lord Jesus Christ. No seed before Christ, and from that time till now have been 2,020 years. So please believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Even if you feel skeptical, your heart will be leading you right now, because I'm telling you the truth, and the Holy Spirit is bearing witness that you're hearing the truth. So I want you to be saved. God wants you to be saved. He said, if you believe on my Son and believe that I have raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. And so this is the reason why even your birth certificate and mine are centered on the fact that Jesus the Christ was born at a certain time. Now keep this in mind. Even since that time till now, the church has been in the world preaching. And let me say this. I want to go totally on the record. Just because we're the church doesn't mean that everyone in the church feels the same way. That's why I say you always got to come back here. When you get back here, now we understand what the church is supposed to be doing. And we want to read the text carefully. And God, the Holy Spirit, will minister to you and me what's in the text, so we can have a clear picture with no confusion. God is not the author of confusion. He doesn't want anyone to be confused. And so the fact is, the scriptures bear witness that Jesus is the Christ, the only Savior that God has sent. Now, let me say this too quickly right at this point. The world is setting up for great, great deception. Jesus has said that. There's going to be great deception, that if it were possible, even the very elect would be deceived. Now, we don't want anyone to be deceived. He says that the elect will not be able to be deceived. So the thing is, we need to be sharp in the truth. That's why he says, study to show yourself approved unto God as workmen that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so we need to study the word so we can understand these crazy things that we see going on. The scripture predicts that there will be a new temple built in Jerusalem, and it will be the temple that will be inhabited by Antichrist. And let me let you know, check the news. Go on jpost.com or just Google New Temple in Israel when you get done with this message. You'll find out that plans have been being made for several years, and at that temple they have architecture all drawn up for it. They have everything necessary. They're starting to get money and collect everything they need to build that temple. And currently, from 70 AD up until now, there's been no temple in Jerusalem. See, not there's a temple sitting on the Temple Mount, but it happens to be a Gentile mosque. A mosque of Omar sits there in the place where the temple used to be. And so there is a new temple coming, and things are setting up now in history to show that exactly what God says in the Word is true. Jesus prophesied before he was crucified in Matthew 24 that Jerusalem shall be trodden under the feet of Gentiles until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And from 70 AD until this very second, there has been no temple in Jerusalem for the Jews. They have worshipped other ways other than the biblical way that the Bible specifies. It's impossible to worship God unless you do it the way he said. You can't make up your own way, and a lot of people are doing that today, whether it be Judaism or anything else. And so God sent Christ, even and for the Jews specifically. He came to them first, and he wants them to believe just like he wants every Gentile to believe. And the mission of the church is to spread the gospel that God has one Savior. Ephesians 4 and 5 says there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And so you and I need to understand that. And you know what? I love the fact that God is not duplicitous. He's not wishy-washy. He's not flippy-floppy. If you read his word and ask him to teach you, he will do it because he loves you. And he wants this message to permeate this whole world. And right now, with all the stuff going on, this is the time when you really need it. You need to have the security of the fact that no matter what happens to me, that God has promised me that I shall be saved by faith in his only Savior, Jesus the Christ, his Son. And so we don't want to make the error that Israel made. And as I mentioned, there is an agenda going on. All the stuff you see, plagues, whatever you want to say, all of that is all spoken of explicitly in the text of Scripture. And you can be sure that God knows exactly what's going to happen, and he has dictated everything. He knows. In other words, it's been written down. So you and I don't have to be in doubt. We don't have to be fearful. No matter what happens, even if it is my time to check out, I don't have to be fearful because God has a place for me, and I won't be here 1 second longer than I'm supposed to. Neither can anything take it with something that's going to take me out. You know what the fact is? You shouldn't even be fearful of death. Jesus said, do not fear him who can destroy the body. And when he's done that, that's all we can do. But fear him who can destroy the body and the soul and cast both into hell. That's who you should fear. And he's not saying be scared of me. He's just saying I'm the only one who has the final say and the final authority about what's going on in your life and where you go eternally. I'm the one who is able to save you from even death in the grave. And he's the only one who got out of the grave. So why should you believe someone else? You know, why should you believe anybody who does not have authority and power over the grave? If they could have found that corpse of Jesus that had been wrapped in 100 pounds of aloe and spices and buried by Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus and bought that body out and put it right in the middle of Main Street in Jerusalem, there wouldn't even be a church. We don't have anything to preach. But the fact is that empty tomb lets you know who has all authority and all power even over death and the grave. And so he has commissioned me and you to go forth and teach this message. Now, you know what? The world, and especially America, the more God blesses a nation, the more apostate they seem to become. We've thrown our sin, just like it says here about Israel in Isaiah 3 and 9. The show of their countenance doth witness against them. Now, they walk around with a proud, lofty look. And they declare their sin as Sodom, they hide it not. Woe unto their soul, for they have rewarded evil unto themselves. When you disobey simple principles that God has given and made very plain, you bring judgment to yourself. We live in a culture today that's proud of their sin. We go around proclaiming sin. We just make stuff legal so we don't have to feel bad about it, rather than saying this is a sin before a holy God. And so we don't want to go there at all. But God will still save you. No matter what you're doing right now, even if you have approved something evil, repent. That's the message the church preached from the beginning. Repent and receive the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. God doesn't care what you're into. No matter what you're into, repent. In other words, go and believe what he says about where you are, and he will help you to defeat whatever it is. And you know what? I have a whole church full of people that can testify to you, hey, I know where I used to be, and I'm not perfect yet, but I'm getting better. And I trust in Jesus with my whole heart, with my soul, with my mind, and he's making me better. There's a lot of stuff I don't do that I used to do, but there's a lot of more stuff that he's going to fix me from even yet. And he is able to do that, and he's the only one got out of the grave to let you know I have power and authority even over death and the grave, much less a sin issue or any problem that we're struggling with. So watch out for what's going on in the country. Don't believe anything you hear unless you check it in the Word. They have some other things they're already doing over there in Israel. They are fattening up the red heifer, which is a cow that is necessary to ordain the new temple. They have gotten all kinds of things all put together. We believe that in the latter days, the Ark of the Covenant may even show up from wherever it went after the veil was rent in the midst back in the days when Jesus was crucified. Now, we don't know this for sure, but the scripture tells us that there's going to be a one world monetary system, that the Antichrist will rise to full power, and he will take over all currency, and he'll fix it where you have to receive a mark in your forehead or in your hand, or else you will not be able to buy nor sell. We can see that going on right now. A lot of what's happening during this lockdown is that the agenda of Antichrist is being pushed forward. So that's something you need to be aware of. Be aware that there are things going on and everything is for a reason, and the agenda of the Antichrist is moving forward. You and I need to be ready for it, because that time will come. We don't know when it will be, but every day it gets closer and closer, and we can see the world setting up to receive those things from the Antichrist. And so this is a critical time. That's why we have no time to play here. So I want you to see that in the same way that the covenant people of God became intermixed with the ways of the Gentiles, who are all other people groups other than the Jews, as we can see here in Isaiah, the third chapter, the church consists of all who profess to have faith in God through his son, Jesus, death, burial, and resurrection, have now also become intermixed with the worldly philosophies and political correctness and things of that sort, to the same point where that what is really true about God's teachings has become corrupted to the point of judgment, which God sends to call the world to accountability, especially the church. So when we see judgment come in the world, we shouldn't be shocked. God is shaking things up to let people know that, you know, I am still in charge. I can shut down all your economy. I can shut down everything you are doing. And this is the first time anything like this has happened in my lifetime. Now, I talked to some of our mothers at the church. They told me back nearly 100 years ago, they were children and they heard that these things happened before. And there was a big shakeup. But you know what? It doesn't take man long to get off the track. Even in the days of Noah, I just want to give you a situation. The whole world was engulfed in a flood. And everybody was destroyed except 8 people. That was judgment from God. And shortly after then, didn't take long, man was right back to their old tricks. By the 10th chapter of the book of Genesis, by the 11th chapter, actually, we would say, they had started building a tower to worship the host of heaven, even after radical destruction to the entire globe. So people go sour quick. That's what I want you to understand. So you know what? 100 years ago, when that plague hit, folks today think, well, I'm impervious to such things, and I don't have to be worried about anything. And they don't understand when God sends a judgment into the world that it will hit all kinds of people. We don't know. I'm not saying that anything particularly about people who have been negatively impacted by it. But it shows us that God is trying to shake people up and show you that money cannot be your God. I'll shut all your businesses down, shut your churches down. I'll shut everything down just to show you that I am a God who has all authority and all power. And what the earth is probably happy that the man is not doing all the stuff they normally do. And it's amazing. It really is a terrible thing. But we should wake up and pay attention because God is not trying to do any damage to anybody. He loves you, and he wants you to repent and believe in his only Savior, his Son, Jesus the Christ. So in the likeness of Israel, who not only killed Jesus according to the scriptures, but also continues to deny him, who is the Messiah, even up until this very second, who also denies Jesus' resurrection from the dead, the modern church now also is corrupted with political correctness, worldly contamination of every sort, and mainly failure to be clear in the proclamation of God's grace, which he displayed when he forsook Jesus on the cross to fulfill the promises of the Old Testament so that everyone who believes in Jesus can be saved. So I want to be explicit. As it says in Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, but there is no other name under heaven which has been given among men, whereby we must be saved. One name. And Paul says to the Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5, there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. So there's no confusion when you read the truth. God has one Savior, and he wants everyone to be saved. The mission of the church, tell everybody about God's one and only Savior, his Son, Jesus the Christ. And so as Paul writes to Titus, I'm not going to try to be with you too long here today. Writing to Titus, he says this in the New Testament. Keep this in mind, too, just before we look at the New Testament text. Paul, as he is the writer of 13 books, at least in the New Testament, was also an apostate Jew who did not believe the gospel before his ministry began, which turned out to be the greatest ministry in the history of mankind. He had to be converted on the Damascus Road. He failed to believe. He was on his way to bust up the church and do damage to God's church. And God himself, the Son, Jesus, confronted him on the Damascus Road and put him on a mission to preach the gospel to every creature, who is the writer of the epistle to Titus, which we have a few verses here for you to think about today. This is what Paul writes. Keep this in mind, too, because I want to just have a comment about this. Titus 3:1. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. You know what? We have a lot of people rebelling against governments. Human government was God's idea. It started all the way back in Genesis 9 and verse 6. So if the government gives a decree like pay taxes, like Jesus told them, render, they asked him, is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar? Jesus said, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. So that lets you see he was saying the rule of government is okay as long as they don't tell you to do something that God told you not to do. And so that's exactly what the apostles did. Later on in the history of the church, the apostles did everything lawful until they told them, stop preaching in the name of Jesus. They said, okay, well, we got to defy you now. And they continued to preach till they got thrown in jail. And so Paul was one of those people who was trying to get them thrown in jail so he could shut them up. But God wanted them to continue to preach that there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one Savior who is Jesus Christ as God's only Savior. And they kept on preaching, and that's the reason there is a church still in existence today. God loves you. If you're not a part of the church, he wants you to be. Church is the word ekklesia. It means the called out ones. You've been called out of the world to separate yourself to God for his purposes. He will take you just like you are. He loves you just like you are. He will receive you right now. If you will receive him today, he will receive you. The scripture says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. That's the prescription for salvation. Whosoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. God wants you to trust him. You know what he's going to do? He's going to move in and seal you with the Holy Spirit. And as many as receive him, to them he gives the right to be called the children of God. He wants you to be able to say today that I am saved and I love God and I'm going to walk by faith and let him teach me his word so I can be prepared for how to deal with these evil times that are going on. That's what he wants you to do right now. So whoever you are, wherever you are, and I hope this hasn't been an abrasive message because it really isn't intended to be. God loves you. If you're a little deceived about something or if you believe something else, maybe you learned it from a child, from your own parents. But there's only one way that you can be right. And so I wouldn't be doing you service if I told you keep on believing whatever it is you believe when there's really only one way for you to be right with God. So trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is God's only Savior, no matter what people say. And you're going to see that it will be the best decision that you have ever made. Writing on to Titus, he says, to speak, after he tells them to mind the magistrates, the principalities, the powers, to obey them, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers. I don't want to argue with people, but be gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. So God wants us to meekly let you know that he still has one Savior, one Lord, one faith, one way you can be saved. So I'm not here to offend you, and if I've said something to offend you, consider what I'm saying. I say it from a heart of love and devotion because God wants this message preached to the ends of the earth. He said that he will not come and restore the earth until we're through preaching on the earth. So he's calling you today. Notice this. Paul goes on with a confession, or so to speak, in Titus 3:3. He says, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Boy, what a description. You mean, is that the kind of folks that are in the church? Yes, absolutely it is. We were all these things, and some of us are still struggling quiet as it's kept. I want to tell you a secret. Many of us are still struggling with stuff that God has to fix. That's a secret, but it's no secret really because God already knows what we're dealing with. And he's fixing you. If you've trusted him, he is fixing you. He is making you a better man or a better woman than you've ever been. If you keep on trusting him, he will keep on cleansing you. He loves you just like you are. He will accept you this very second if you accept his son and believe that God has raised him from the dead. So Paul is quick to say, hey, remember how we used to be? We ourselves were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. What a description. That's the kind of folk you find in the church. Some of y'all say, yeah, no, I went there and that's why I'm not coming back. Well, you need to come back so you can learn, so you can be fed, so that the truth can make you free. Come on back. People always want a lot of hypocrites in the church. I say, well, come on in. We got room for more. We'll accept you right now today, no matter who you are. God loves you and he wants you to be saved. Notice this, he says here. Now, after Paul says all that, giving you a good description of what you might find in the true church, he says, but after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior. Notice that he says, God our Savior, Titus 3:4, toward man appeared. That's talking about the first advent of Christ when God our Savior appeared. That's Christmas, if you will. He says, verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. And it says here, notice that is mercy. Nobody can be saved without God's mercy. I need mercy. I don't know about you. I can't run up to God and say, hey, Lord, look what all I did. I'm all that in a bag of chips. No. I need mercy. I need Jesus to say, you know, that one right there, he was not ashamed to say my name and to let people know that I'm the only one who can save them. See? And I need his mercy. I can't go in and say, oh, Lord, look at everything I did. I wish I could tell you that, but that's not so. And you know what? I bet you there's thousands looking right now who would agree with me. They would say, oh, no, there's no way I could tell God I've done everything right. You know what? God already knows. He knows why you did everything you did. He knows what you did. And he can help you, fix you, and make you a better man or woman than you've ever been if you just put your hand in his hand, let him fill you with his spirit. And he will guide you through his word and show you how to have victory in your life you've never experienced before. Moving on with Titus, it's not by works of righteousness that we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit is who renews us. He gives us a new mind, a new way to think, a new way to see things in the world. He gives us more faith day by day, and he unfolds the truth of the gospel and the word of God so that you and I can understand it better day by day. And the more we understand, the more authority we get over control of things that we do. We can filter everything that the world is saying about us and about the church and about salvation and about everything. God moves into your life and ministers to you in every area, giving you understanding. That's the big thing that you and I need. It's more understanding. The scripture says, in all you're getting, get understanding. So we need to understand some things. And a lot of, you know, let me say this. You won't understand unless God enables you to do so. He is able to do that. He's willing to do that. And he makes people like myself very positive toward giving you information from the scriptures and to be able to answer questions that you may have about what God says. So Paul's instructions given to Titus for the church lets us know that believers in Jesus Christ, that as believers we are to be obedient to human government in general, as long as human government does not demand things directly against God's word, and that we always remember and realize that we also had to come to a place of understanding that God loved the world. He gave his only begotten son. We had to learn what John 3:16 means, so that whosoever, that means no matter who you are, that you should not perish but have everlasting life, so that we can teach everyone else that Jesus Christ is God's only Savior. That's the reason why God saves us. He wants us to become a part of the force for good. And there's only one force for good. Matthew 12 and 30 says, he who is not with me is against me. He who is not gathering with me scatters abroad. So you're either with Jesus or you're against him. You know what? I want to let you know, he's for you. He wants you to be saved. That's why he's put his church in the world, to give you a clear message that he loves you just like you are. But he loves us too much to leave us like we are. He's been fixing me. I'm better than I used to be. Not as good as I would like to be, but I know I'm heading in the right direction. Somebody said, I'm on the right road now, and I fixed it up with Jesus, and I'm moving forward in his name. So if you haven't ever just received the Lord to be your Savior, I want to ask you to do that. Right now, I want to invite you to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You shall be saved, even if you don't really fully understand everything the preacher said. I know right now the Holy Spirit is guiding you right now to trust in the name of Jesus. He said he would be with us to bear witness to the truth. And if you just open the door of your heart, let him in, he'll come right now. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Whoever opens to me, I'll come in and sup with you. He will come in and be your personal Savior and give you a sense of comfort you have never had in your lifetime. Pray with me. Lord God, in Jesus' mighty name, we have heard the gospel, the good news that you love us just like we are. And Father, we come with all of our dirty laundry and our list of sin, Lord God, and we want to just change. We need to be different than we are. And I heard the good news that you accept us no matter how we are. And so, Father, I want to trust in Jesus Christ and believe that his death on the cross was a full payment for all of my sin, that he was wounded for my transgressions, bruised for my iniquities, chastised for my peace, that by his stripes I can be healed. And I believe that he defeated the grave, even after he had been buried in the grave for 3 days and nights, that he rose up with all power in his hand. He's the only one who's ever done that in history. And so, Father, help me to understand that I really need to know that my worst problem, which is so foreboding in my mind, which is death, has been fixed. Jesus rose so that we could know that death has been swallowed up in victory, and that he will save us also at the resurrection, when that time comes. He told Lazarus' sisters that, don't you know that I am the resurrection and the life? And he that believes in me, even though he be dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Today we believe it, Lord. We come in the name of Jesus. We believe in the resurrection. And Father, we know that any other problem we have is much smaller than the biggest problem that we could have, which is death. And you have covered us for even the biggest problem. So, Father, we trust you to handle all the other problems that we may be having right now. Father, I pray that you invite that young lady, that young man, those who are struggling with situations that are out of their control, to have that peace that passeth all understanding by trusting in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Bless somebody that's believing a false system today and understanding that you are the only Savior that God has sent, the Lord Jesus Christ, and you proved it by raising him from the dead, which is not true of any other human being in the history of humanity. So, Lord God, we come today asking you to save us, deliver us, and we'll be careful to give you all the glory and the praise. And we ask this in the name of Jesus, your risen Son, that will be glory and majesty, dominion and power both now and forevermore. Amen. Amen. If you have any other issues, God will handle those for you. Just trust in his Son and keep on believing him. Even if you have any needs for answers to anything, feel free to be in touch with us. We're from the St. Timothy Missionary Baptist Church, which is located at 6333 Dr. Martin Luther King Drive in Wellston, Missouri. We're not having services presently. That's why we're here with you online. But we will be opening soon, and we'll give instruction as to what that will be and how we will do this in the coming days. We pray that your life will begin to be better now than it ever has been, and we hope that you will continue in Christ. We know that he who began a good work in you will continue to perform it even until the day of Jesus Christ. And so we ask you to walk by faith, not by sight. Don't believe the hype, but believe the truth. God loves you, and so do we. Amen. Hope you have a blessed rest of your day. God bless you.